بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة.
I'd like to welcome you all to today's class in the fiqh of marriage. And inshallah we'll be talking about a very, very important hadith, or a couple hadith, بإذن الله تعالى, in the chapter on the marriage which we began several durus. We've been speaking in this chapter for several weeks now, inshallah. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال أسلمت امرأة فتزوجت فجاء زوجها فقال يا رسول الله إني كنت أسلمت وعلمت بإسلامي فانتزعها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من زوجها الآخر وردها إلى زوجها الأول. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وابن ماجه وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم. This hadith, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, before we talk about the rulings on it, the hadith, it mentions that a woman, she accepted Islam. أسلمت امرأة. And so she accepted Islam and she made hijra to Medina to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فتزوجت. So then she got remarried. She got remarried and she left her first husband in Mecca. And after this happened, her first husband, he also made hijra. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I accepted Islam at the same time as my wife, but she made hijra before me. And now she's remarried to somebody else. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Or what did he do? He said, after hearing the man and saying that she knew I was a Muslim, he took her away from the second husband and returned her back to the first husband. This hadith is narrated by Ahmed and Abu Dawud. Okay, so to understand this hadith, it is building upon the previous narrations that we spoke about, that a Muslim cannot be in marriage to a mushrik. A Muslim woman, if she accepts Islam, then what happens to the marriage contract with her husband? The marriage, it gets put on hold. We talked about this. What happens is, a woman, if she accepts Islam and her husband is a non-Muslim, can she remain in marriage to him? She cannot stay married to him. Allah says, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمَ الْكَوَافِرِ. Do not keep the bonds of marriage to the disbelieving people. So what happened is, when the Prophet ﷺ, when this man came to him, he checked to see if her first husband had accepted Islam. Because what we know is that if a woman accepts Islam and her husband accepts Islam at the same time, then they can remain together. In fact, they don't even need a new marriage contract. The contract that they did when they were on kufr, it remains valid even afterwards. If a man and a woman from the society here, a Christian man and a woman, they both accept Islam, then they can remain together in that marriage contract. But if the woman, she precedes the man to Islam, then what happens to the man? The man now, he has to accept Islam, and if he does not, then they will be separated. Then they are no longer married to each other. And the ulama, what they state is that man, he's given some time period. He doesn't have to accept Islam at the very moment as a woman, but he's given the time of her waiting period. As you know, when a woman, if she gets divorced from a man, there's an iddah. What they call an iddah, there's a waiting period. It's 3 menstrual cycles, generally speaking. So if, after she accepts Islam, she waits for 3 months for her husband to become Muslim. If he accepts Islam during those 3 months, then they can remain together during that marriage contract. If the waiting period is over and the husband still didn't accept Islam, then what happens in this case? She becomes separated from that man and she is free to remarry. So the story behind this hadith is that a woman, she came to the Prophet ﷺ, she accepted Islam, she had made hijra from Mecca to Medina, and she had remarried. She married a new man, another man, after she came to Medina. But then her first husband came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I became Muslim at the same time as my wife." And she knew that. Yet she came here to Medina and she remarried somebody else. So the Prophet ﷺ, what he did is he realized that there was no reason for her to break the first marriage. The marriage remained valid. Even if they're in a different city, the marriage was still correct. And so she was a married woman when she remarried to this other man. And what happens if a married woman, she tries to marry another person? That marriage, that contract is not valid. A woman cannot remarry if she's already in marriage with another person. So there was no reason for them to be separated. So the Prophet ﷺ sent her back to the first husband, because this was his right, to stay with her in the marriage. InshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, so let's move on to the next hadith. This will be the main hadith that we speak about tonight, inshaAllah. It was narrated عن زيد ابن كعب ابن عجرة عن أبيه قال تزوج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العالية من بني غفار. The Prophet ﷺ, he married a woman named Aliya from the tribe of Banu Ghifar. فلما دخلت عليه ووضعت ثيابها رأى بكشحها بياضا فقال إلبسي ثيابك وألحقي بأهلك وأمر لها بالصداق رواه حاكم. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, he got married. He married a woman named Al-Aliya from the tribe of Banu Ghifar. The Ghifar tribe is a famous Arab tribe. When she entered to the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and she removed her clothing, she had a white spot that was leprosy. Leprosy, it's a type of disease of the skin. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw that, he said to her, "Put on the clothing and your clothing and go back to your family." إِلْحَقِي بِأَهْلِكِ. He told her, "Put your clothing and go back to your family." Then he ordered that she be given her dowry, that her dowry be given to her. So I hope the picture is clear. He got married to a woman. She came to his presence, and when she uncovered her stomach, there was a leprosy on her stomach, her clothing. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told her to put her clothes on and go back to her family. And then he ordered that she be given her dowry. But he didn't touch the woman. So this hadith is narrated by Ibn Hajar towards the end of this chapter to bring up a very important point, which is what happens when you have a husband and a wife and there are defects and deficiencies in one of the spouses. And the scholars, they talk about the defects in the wife and the permission of the husband to cancel out the marriage in that case. And also they extended this to the wife towards the husband. The husband could have some deficiency, some illness like impotence, which gives the right to the wife to cancel out the marriage. In that case, this is also the fuqaha, they talk about these based upon this hadith and others. And we'll see also in the next hadith that there's another narration by Umar who makes it even more clear regarding if there's a disease or a deficiency in the wife and the right of the husband to send her back. So we see here that this woman, her name was Aliya. She was from the tribe of Bani Ghifar, and on the wedding night she entered the room, and when she uncovered her clothing, she had what is called baras. Baras in Arabic, it is leprosy. And the leprosy is a reason for which a man, he can have his marriage cancelled. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Go to your family." Go to your family, does this mean divorce? Do you know if it means divorce? Go to your family, it could mean divorce, or it could mean go to your family because you're sick or because the woman is going to give birth. It could have both meanings. So the ulama, they say if a man says to his wife, "Go to your family," does she become divorced?
No.
No.
He says yes?
No.
He says no? The The ulama, they say this type of wording, this is a type of symbolic wording, which what they call kinaya in Arabic. Kinaya means you might imply something else in it, or you might not. So when it comes to this type of wording that is ambivalent, it has two meanings, then the fuqaha say you have to look at the intention of the speaker. Normally speaking, if somebody, he says to his wife, you are divorced, she becomes divorced just by the words themselves. We don't even have to look at his intention. He might say later on, I didn't mean it. The fuqaha, they say, it doesn't matter. These words are very clear. Once they are spoken, they become serious words. There's three things that are serious, the ulama say. The marriage, there's no joking. They said the serious words are serious, the joking is also serious. When one says he gets married to another, he can't say later on, I was joking, I didn't mean the marriage. Same thing with divorce. The divorce, even if one is joking, he says to his wife, you're divorced, and later on he said, I just wanted to make her upset. No. It becomes serious, and also they say the third is freeing the slave. So here, go to your family, we have to look at the intention of the speaker. And the Aliya, she was not the first woman that was divorced by the Prophet ﷺ. Perhaps many of you might not have known, but Ibn Kathir, he mentions a number of cases in which the Prophet ﷺ, he divorced a woman. And in fact, he even divorced another woman for the very same illness, for the leprosy. And her name, the other woman, her name was Ammara bint Yazid. Ammara bint Yazid, she was also, this hadith is about Aliya, but there's another woman, her name was Ammara bint Yazid. She was also wedded to the Prophet ﷺ, and when he uncovered, he found she also had this illness, this disease. And he said, put on your clothing and go back to your family. So Ibn Kathir, he mentions both of these cases, and as we'll see in the end, there were a few other cases. One thing to make clear here is that the baras, the leprosy, is different than just the pigmentation. It wasn't that she simply had some pigmentation. Some people, they have a skin disease where it's just white. This is called bahaq in Arabic. This is different than baras. I'm sure a doctor can tell you. Right, there's a lack of pigmentation in the skin, and that's not the case that we have here. What we had was the actual type of leprosy. But the bahaq, oh yes, he said a vitiligo, it's when some of the skin, sometimes you see a person, if they're dark-skinned, they have white spots on their skin. That wasn't the reason why he sent her back. He sent her back due to leprosy, which is very contagious. It's a very harmful disease, and she was that was hidden from him. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he makes this also very, very clear. He gave his own ruling, and he made it even more clear. Because in this hadith, we don't really understand, was this a cancellation of the marriage, or was it a regular divorce? Because if it was a regular divorce, you have to give the dowry. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave the dowry in full. So Umar radiallahu anhu, the author, he brings a narration from Umar to make it clear that a man has a right to cancel out the marriage, and in the cancellation he doesn't have to give the dowry. He has a right to get the dowry returned because he was tricked. It was a type of trick. Let's see what Umar says. Umar, he says, if any man after marries a woman and after sleeping with her finds that she is affected with leprosy or insanity, she gets her dowry for him having touched her, and it is returned to the husband from the guardian who tricked him. This is what Umar radiallahu anhu said. It was narrated by Malik, Imam Malik. أَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ تَزَوَّجَ إِمْرَأَةً فَدَخَلَ بِهَا فَوَجَدَهَا بَرْصًا أَوْ مَجْنُونَةً أَوْ مَجْذُوبَةً فَلَهَا الصَّدَاقُ بِمَسِيسِهِ لَهَا وَهُوَ لَهُ عَلَى مَنْ غَرَّهُ مِنْهَا. So the man, if he married a woman, sometimes it happened in the old days. He married a woman, he found out she was insane. Majnun. He didn't know beforehand, this happened. Or perhaps he married a woman, she has a disease. She has a leprosy. She has some type of harmful disease. So, Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave the judgment that she still deserves her dowry because of what happened because of him touching her. But the man who was tricked, where does he get the dowry back from? From the guardian who hid that illness from the husband. He has a right to go to court, or he has a right to go to the guardian and get back his dowry, which he spent and he did not get what he had, what he was told he was going to get, which was the wife without any of the illnesses. And we said before, this also applies to the man if he has certain diseases such as impotence. Okay, so now, if the guardian he didn't know, it's very interesting. The guardian can request from the wife to give him the money, and then he has to give it to the husband. You see? The guardian, he says to the wife, you didn't tell me that you had this problem. So the husband, he has a right to get it from the guardian. And if the guardian, he had no idea about this, he has a right to get it back from the daughter. But the daughter has a right to get it because of what happened, because she had the relation. So it's a fair, it's very fair for all people involved. Subhanallah, subhanallah, no, no. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about the marriage of the Prophet ﷺ to Aliya and Ammar. Now, while we're talking about, and a few of the other marriages, when we talk about marriages of the Prophet ﷺ, there's a little issue in the background that comes up in the minds of people, which is, why did the Prophet ﷺ marry these various different women? Why did he have so many different marriages? We see that it's mentioned by Ibn Kathir that most of the ulama say that he married 15 different women. Some of them, they say 18 different women that he was married to. When he passed, he consummated a marriage with 13, and he passed away. How many of his wives were alive? 9 of his wives were alive. May Allah be pleased with all of them. But that discussion, of course, we could say very generally, every marriage had its circumstance and its reason. Every woman that he married, there was some reason. We could say it was for to bring the tribes together, or to reconciliate, or they were widows and their husbands had died, or for in the case of Aisha, some of the ulama say she was so knowledgeable and the daughter of his close friend that brought them together. She learned so much knowledge and spread that those ahadith for many, many decades after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. In fact, there's a book written, or more than one book, that talks about each wife and the particular reason for the Prophet ﷺ's marriage to that wife. There's books that are written about that for each and every marriage, and they describe the reasoning behind it. But we cannot go into detail on this subject now, but inshallah, in its place, we will later, inshallah. So the wives that were alive when he passed away of the Prophet ﷺ, they were Aisha, Sauda, Salama, Habiba, Maymuna, Zainab binti Jahsh, Zainab binti Haritha, Safiya. These were the wives. They performed the Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ, and when he passed away, they were still alive. May Allah be pleased with them all. We have the question that the fuqaha ask: what happened to these women after the Prophet ﷺ passed away? Were they allowed to get remarried? Are they allowed to get married after the Prophet ﷺ passed away? They are our mothers, right? They're called the mothers of the believers. Muslims are not allowed to marry any of them. Some of the ulama, they say their waiting period is until they pass away. They are not allowed, any man is not allowed to get married to any of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, because they're like our mothers. Aisha radiallahu anha, she's our mother. All of them were like our mothers. Now, no? Yes, this is the question. Now, regarding the women, there are some women that the Prophet ﷺ proposed to, but he did not see them. He proposed to them and he did not see them, and he did not consummate marriage. Obviously, he proposed, he gave the khitbah, he offered the marriage, but it did not go through, and he never got married to them. So what is the ruling first on these women that he proposed to and he did not get married to? Can they get remarried afterwards? They're allowed to, because there was never any relationship, no connection between them. But there were 7 women that took place with. Now, there was 12 women that was mentioned by Ibn Kathir that he married, but for some reason, after they got together and they were alone together, they did not, the Prophet ﷺ did not touch them, or they did not have relations together. There's 12 women that were mentioned by Ibn Kathir. What is the ruling on these 12 women? The scholars, they say that for these women, the first opinion is that they should not be married afterwards. And the reason for that is because the Prophet ﷺ, being alone with them, seeing them, and they had uncovered, that's a type of relationship. And the proof also is that the Prophet ﷺ gave them their dowry. So as if there was a, in many schools of law, in the Hanafi school of law, if a man is alone in a room with the wife, even if he doesn't touch her, and say they get divorced, he has to give her her full dowry. Full dowry. But if they were, but according to all the other schools of law, there has to be the actual relationship. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he considered a man and a woman being alone together in a closed room, it's as if they had a relationship together. In this hadith, we see the Prophet ﷺ gave the dowry. So those women, they're as if they were, there was some type of relationship. And so the majority opinion is that they should not get remarried afterwards. There are some ulama that say that they can get remarried, but it's better. There's something different. It's better to avoid it, but it's not the same as women that he actually had the relationship with. Also, there's a few other things here about a few other women that the Prophet ﷺ, he had married. There was a woman who he proposed to. There was a woman who he was alone with, but she had her hayd. She had her menses. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told her to go and stay until she was finished with her hayd and come back. And during this time, the Prophet ﷺ, his son Ibrahim passed away. During the time when she was married, but she didn't still have her hayd. During the time Ibrahim passed away, and so the woman, she said, this could not be. She said that a prophet would not have his son pass away. She said that that a prophet would not have his son pass away. Something like this, disparaging how the son of the Prophet ﷺ passed away. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, go back to your family, because of the statement that she said. There was another incident that took place where a woman, the Prophet ﷺ, he entered upon her, and when he went to place her hand on her forehead, which is the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that when one of you gets married on the wedding night, to place his hand on the forehead of the woman and to say, O Allah, give me her goodness and the goodness that she was created for. So this is a sunnah. If one, he gets married, or even if he purchases a ride, an animal, he should place his hand on his forelock and say, O Allah, give me the good of her and the good of what she was created for. So the Prophet ﷺ, he married this woman, and when he went to extend his hand towards her head, she said, A'udhu billahi min, I seek refuge in Allah from you. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَقَدْ عُذْتِ بِعَظِيمِ, you have sought refuge in the Mighty One. So he said, go to your family. Send her back to her family. So what happened, her family came, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, she was tricked. What happened is, one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, when she was getting ready to come to the house of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the wives, they said, how can you marry the man who killed your father? See, this woman, her father was a kafir, he was killed in one of the battles. So one of the wives, she was jealous. They don't mention her name always, because, you know, but she's known in the books. She told that woman, the Prophet ﷺ, he killed your father, how can you marry her? So this girl, she was young, she was naive, and so she, when the Prophet ﷺ came to make dua for her, she said, A'udhu billahi mink, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he sent her back. So the family, they came, they said, Ya Rasulullah, she's naive, she was tricked. He said, no, I'm not going to take her back after that. So that was another one of the incidents which happened to the Prophet ﷺ. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, the women who were alone with him, these women, for example, who he was alone with but he didn't touch, and he sent back, as we said, there's two opinions. One is that they're not allowed to remarry, because being alone is like marriage. And the other opinion is that it's better for them not to marry, but since there was no actual relationship, then they are allowed to get together again. So we see the these different marriages that took place. Again, there were 17, 12 women that were married, but he did not consummate the marriage. This is mentioned by Ibn Kathir. And they all have special circumstances, again, and this was not the Prophet ﷺ, all of his marriages were for some maslaha for these wives. Why did he keep the wives after Allah restricted it to only four? This is also a very important point. When Allah restricted marriage to only four women, all the other Sahaba, they had to divorce any other wives they had, more than four. But he was allowed to keep them. إِنَّا أَحْلَلْنَا لَكَ أَزْوَاجَكَ. Allah says, you are allowed your wives because they would not be able to remarry and nobody would be able to take care of them. So as a mercy for those wives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep them as his wives. And so they would be mothers of the believers and would not be ashamed to be divorced from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they would be taken care of after he passed away. We ask Allah to give us the benefit of this knowledge inshaAllah ta'ala and accept from all of you. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. Is there any questions? Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, like yes. As you say, the wonderful wives in every person.
Yes.
If in this time, if somebody clearly tell that man or woman that he had that problem, and if he accepting that, you know, that okay, if you have some problem, I'm accepting you with your problem. Still he have a right after accepting everything, and then he denied this, says, no, I'm not satisfied, I changed my mind. And
no, in this case, if the brother is asking, if somebody gets married, he knows that the defect or the deficiency was told in open, that his wife, she says, I have this problem, and then afterwards, he wants to go back. In this case, he's not allowed to cancel out the marriage and not give her the dowry, because he showed rida. He accepted that thing. Just like when you purchase a car, say for example, you purchase a car, there's a defect in the car. If it's hidden from you, you bought the car, and then you find out the defect, you're allowed in Islamic law to return the car to the owner, because it was hidden from you. But say the owner, he advertised, he said, this is the car I have, but the transmission is no good. You say, okay, I accept it. I buy the car, you drive it home, you take it out, and then the transmission doesn't work. You can't return it now and say the transmission doesn't work. Oh, but if there's some other problem, then either you can return it or have the price of the difference refunded in order to make it fair. So what is forbidden in Islam is the gharar, the uncertainty and the ghish. Ghish means cheating, hiding the defects. This is what's forbidden. But if the two parties agree and the ghish is not there, then the Islamic contract will be valid.
So must tell what the default is. You know?
Yes. What happens if the person they hide some fault that they have? We spoke before about, say, impotence, that Omar, he said they give 1 year. Perhaps the person will get better. Mm-hmm. And then after that, if the woman, she has patience and she said it's fine, then they can also do that. So the husband, if he finds some fault, he can be patient with it, or he can exercise his right to have her go back to her family. And vice versa, the woman also, she can be patient or she can exercise her right. But if it's made known aforetime, then there's no harm in that, inshallah ta'ala. Khair, inshallah. If there's no other questions, jazakallah khair. May Allah reward all of you for staying.
I've been there.
Kate, do you have any questions?